I'll tell you, he's not a house pet. He loves going out, hanging out with his friends. He does what the normal kid does. I mean, except the practicing for like around 8 hours a day. That's not what a normal kid does, but.
This is Castle's Corner.
Welcome to the Castle Corner Podcast, and thank you for joining us. I am your host, Tommy Castle. With me this week is the best teenage golfer in America, and although I think my golf game is finally coming around this summer, it's not even close or in the same conversation as a 16-year-old who is fresh off a win at the U.S. Junior Amateur in New Jersey, as he's from Wellesley, and his name is Michael Thorbjornsson. Michael, I said that right?
Yes, you did.
Okay, good. With Michael is another Wellesley 16-year-old, right, Drew? You're 16?
Yes.
16-year-old and Drew Cohen, who is Michael's wingman, right-hand man, biggest fan, whatever you want to call him, and he's also on the Wellesley High hockey team. So Michael and Drew from Wellesley, thanks for coming in to Castle Corner Podcast.
Well, thank you for having us. It's really great to be here.
Yeah, well, I know I'm keeping you guys from playing some golf at TPC Norton, so we'll make this quick. Beautiful course over there at TPC Norton, Boston. That's where they played their major championship, the only one for the PGA Tour in the state during the summer in September, I believe. So we're going to try to check that out. Anyway, like I said, Michael is fresh off a thrilling kind of come-from-behind championship to claim the U.S. Junior Amateur title for golf. This happened last week, or exactly a week from today. He shot a 69 in the second round, which is the final round of a 36-hole final, one in which he trailed by three holes in the match play format after just 6 holes. So he's trailing by 3 after 6 holes. Still, the Wellesley native chipped away. No pun, of course. Chipping away. That's okay?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't very good. And chipped away the deficit and made the match all square, which is a tie for those of you who don't know golf, on the 30th hole. And he just so happened to drive the green on the par 4 to make a birdie. And then on the final hole, he tapped in for par to earn the 1-up victory. I think I have that right, Michael. I know you maybe have watched a couple highlights, maybe not. Anyway, the trophy presentation ensues, a couple of interviews with the Associated Press, and now here we are. So that's a kind of the cliff note version of Michael's claim to fame here, of your thrilling final match. So let's start with the basics. I know you've been interviewed by Fox Sports, Golf Week, a radio station in North Carolina, the Boston Globe recently, so you should be pretty comfortable with this question by now, but how does it feel to be the U.S. Junior Amateur Champion?
Well, I have to say it's nothing short of amazing. It's really an honor. I mean, so many great players are on that trophy, such as Tiger Woods and Jordan Spieth. Just some of the greatest golfers right now on the PGA Tour. Just knowing that my name is on that trophy as well with them and knowing the history of this tournament, it really means a lot. It's like I still even thinking about it right now, going back, it kind of feels surreal just knowing that I've won this tournament. Just take some time to sink in.
Yeah, you mentioned that right after to the Associated Press. You said, quote unquote, "I'm pretty sure a lot of stuff hasn't really sunk in yet." And now we're 7 days later, and you went on to say, "I didn't know what to do with my hands or with my hat. I didn't know where to go." But let's go back to that final round, because that's when you kind of pulled off some pretty good magic, shooting a 69. Like I said in the description before, Your 69 was littered with a bunch of impressive moments, but I can't think of one that was any bigger or better than driving par 4. So it was a 302-yard par 4, and I'm pretty sure it might have been uphill a little bit.
Yes, it was.
If I remember seeing one of the videos correctly. But it was the 30th hole of the match, so we got that hole plus 6 more after that. What was going through your head at that point? Because I think you were either one down or all square, and you decided to go for the green. So tell me what's going through your mind as a golfer trying to drive a green.
Right, so basically the whole day I felt pretty confident with my driver, and I think that was the hole right after I had just 2 holes after I had won the hole to get back to all square. So we're both all square with, I think it was 4 or 5 holes to go, and I really felt like the momentum has switched. I was feeling really confident with my driver, and I didn't even have to talk to my caddy or discuss about what I'm doing. I just said, "You like the driver on this hole?" And he said, "Yeah, I love it." So I just pulled out the driver, and I smacked it as hard as I can, and it turned out to be perfectly fine.
Now, you were playing a little fade on it for that drive, right? Because you, I think you were worried about going over the hole because that was kind of no man's land, if I remember correctly.
Yes. Anything long on that hole is completely dead. I would, like, at best tie the hole, depending on what Akshay would have done after my tee shot. So I felt like if I played a little nice fade up there, a nice high trajectory, it should land softly on the green and leave me a good chance at eagle.
Now, what is your normal ball flight? You know, fade for people, you know, for a right-handed golfer like Michael, will go from his left to right, tends to go maybe sometimes a little bit higher in the air. It depends on golfer to golfer and won't travel as far, but a little bit more controllable. A draw, which is going right to left for a right-handed golfer, tends to be maybe a little bit lower, but tends to get a little bit more run, a little bit more roll, and tends to be a little bit longer. So what's your favorite kind of golf shot?
I personally try and hit a straight ball flight just to make sure that, I mean, there's not really any movement in the shot. So, if it stays online, then the shot should be pretty good. But it's very hard to hit a straight shot while I'm out there because there's elevated greens that you have to adjust for, the winds, the lie that you have, just small nuances and small different factors really come together. So it all really depends on what type of a shot I'm trying to hit and like where I'm trying to put my ball.
Now, putting us back to, I think, the seventh tee box, you're down by three to, I didn't even want to try to pronounce his name because I wouldn't get it right, but you mentioned his last name in the last answer, but you're down three after six holes. In a match play, the snowball effect kind of keeps rolling and rolling. If you fall down early, it's tough to come back, especially when an opponent maybe put up a bunch of pars and you got to make birdies. So what was going through your head as you step onto the 17 box or just maybe after the sixth hole when you're down by three? You got a lot of holes to play. You got, I think, 31 more holes to play, if I'm doing my math correctly, even though people think it's 30, it's 31. But what was going through your head, I guess, at that point?
I mean, those first six holes, I wasn't playing that bad. Just got a couple unlucky breaks. But being three down after six, it's definitely not a great position, but at the same time, it could have been worse. Whereas I've just played six holes, I have more than enough holes to get back. If I win the next three holes, we could be all square and I could have another 26, 27 holes left. And it all depends on just kind of forgetting about that you're down and just going back to your game plan and just focusing on like what your job is out there and just making birdies, making putts, and just playing a steady game.
Now, watching you on the course there in New Jersey, I think it was Springfield, New Jersey. Can't remember the exact name of the course. What was the name of the course again?
Baltusrol.
Baltusrol. Was your one of your best friends who's sitting to the right of you and Drew Cohen. So, Drew, you're there in person, making the trip down. It took you a little different travel plans than you originally had hoped for after the original plan was to get a train. You actually took a plane down there. But what was it like to finally get there and be able to see, I think you saw half of his first 18 holes and saw the rest of his last 18. So what was it like watching your best friend win the U.S. Junior Amateur?
It was an unbelievable experience just to see like my good buddy. I actually can't believe that what he pulled off. And, it was definitely a struggle for him to actually win big events. And after pulling this off and with me being there, supporting him on that last 18 and, his last nine of this first round. I mean, I couldn't be prouder of the kid. He's an awesome friend, just good hearted, very talented. And, it was just great to be there.
Yeah. And I can't help but, helping run some of our Instagram accounts and following a lot of Wellesley kids, also a lot of Needham kids, unfortunately, for the rivalry. But I mean, love to both towns, no bias here. But the community kind of just really giving you a lot of support after you won, I think, on Saturday and Sunday when people kind of learned of what you did and just seeing a lot of athletes. I know I brought Drew Hubbard here for a podcast in the winter amidst his really successful hockey season, which Drew, you're a part of the team that did very well. And I saw he was congratulating you in a bunch of posts for Michael for winning. So just seeing that kind of community love and camaraderie, for lack of a better word, was pretty cool. Obviously, we'll talk a little bit about Drew here in a sense of maybe trying to throw you off your game a little bit after shots, but we'll talk about that later on, and we'll see if he would make a good caddy. But let's take a quick break here on Castle Corner Podcast, and when we come back, we'll talk more golf and sports with the U.S. Junior Amateur Champion and this Wellesley High hockey player. Back here on Castle Corner with Wellesley's Michael Thorbjørnsen. Did I get that right a second time?
Yeah, it's almost. Definitely close enough. Yeah,
yeah. it sounds like. And then Drew Cohen. We're also joined by Drew's stepbrother, Jake Goldstein, over the court. Jake, thanks for coming in.
Hello.
He's also a pretty good golfer, I've heard. Lives in New Jersey, so not too far away from where Michael won his U.S. Junior Amateur. Anyway, back to Michael, who's rocking an Adidas t-shirt. Who he's sponsored by. Pretty cool, a 16-year-old being sponsored by Adidas. Also, Michael's sponsored by TaylorMade Golf, so he has to play that TaylorMade Golf ball. I unfortunately brought a Precept in here, which was one of the balls I found rolling around in my trunk. But anyway, back to golf. I've been playing golf for longer than you, but I'm definitely nowhere as close to as you, good as you. I'll never will be in my life, which is a sad reality that I'll have to live with. But that's okay, because at least I get to interview you and we'll write a story about you as well for the Wellesley Townsman next week. So let's rewind all the way back to when you started playing golf. When did you start? Where did you start? And how did you get so darn good?
Well, I'm not even sure if I believe this myself, but my mom and dad told me, like, just even before I was a year old, I would just sit in our living room and they'd give me plastic clubs and I just started hitting plastic balls while sitting down. And then eventually a year later or year and a half later, I'd go on the course with them, play from the red tees and just hack at it. And just, I had a lot of fun. And then eventually from there, I kind of stopped playing a little bit just because, I mean, I'm 4 years old and I don't even know like what's going on. But when I was 5, 6, that's when I started playing tournaments and really started to enjoy the game of golf. And ever since then, I've been practicing hard, working hard, and just always trying to be the best.
Now, I've heard rumors from some of the friends that are here. We had another friend that had to go catch an airplane, but before we got on air here, that, you know, your dad had worked on trying to get you to have a similar golf swing as Tiger Woods when he was in his prime in the, you know, the 2000 era, or, you know, year 1999, whatever. Is that kind of something that was instilled with you when you were a young age, trying to get a similar golf swing to Tiger Woods?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Tiger Woods is currently my favorite golfer, and I think he was definitely the greatest, and he had one of the best swings on tour, and still does have a pretty good move out there. But my dad used to be my coach back then, and he would always ingrain his swing into my swing, and I felt like if I could do that, then hopefully my game would get a lot better, and fortunately it did.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a couple of clips of your swing, and it's pretty powerful for just a 16-year-old who's probably about 150 pounds, I'd say.
Yeah, right around there.
Yeah, okay. Definitely a good swing to emulate. And speaking of Tiger, so since you were able to win the U.S. Junior Amateur, you've now qualified for the 2019 U.S. Open, which is at Pebble Beach, where the likes of Tiger Woods, you mentioned Jordan Spieth earlier, and even, you know, I think Dustin Johnson still might be the world number one, will probably be playing next year if all, you know, health, knock on wood, for Tiger,
right,
that everyone's playing there. So there's a few possible names that you could be seeing in person, you know, playing alongside, or maybe a practice round, or, you know, maybe on Sunday when we want to go low. But you also get to play in the U.S. Amateur, which is for anyone who qualifies, not just juniors, but any amateur that qualifies, at Pebble Beach next month, in a couple of weeks. So have you ever played Pebble Beach? And either way, you must be pretty excited to head out there.
I actually haven't played Pebble Beach, but every golfer knows what Pebble Beach is and how amazing that course is. I mean, I just can't wait to go over there and play, nevertheless, playing the U.S. Amateur, which is probably one of the best amateur events in the world. And just playing with the best amateurs and just see how my game is put up to theirs would be a really great experience, just knowing like how much harder I'm going to have to work and just see where their game is at to see where I can improve as well.
I know from playing Tiger Woods golf video games. We talked about Fortnite off air. Tiger Woods 2004, 2005 PS2 was the go-to game. This is before they had like the Masters Edition, and you can play over at Birch Open. So Pella Beach was the number one course to play. Good luck on that par three on the water, right by with the wind and everything. That's a tough hole for sure. But kind of going back to where Michael currently is and where he's kind of groomed his golf game. Michael currently attends IMG Academy, which is a sports academy, basically, where he focuses on golf and academics. It's based out of Bradenton, Florida, and he's been down there for just about 2 years now, and he's going back for his third year in the fall. So, Michael, I'm interested to hear what made you decide to attend IMG and what some of the maybe pluses and minuses of being down there is.
So practicing at IMG has helped a lot just compared to Wellesley, where for 6 to 8 months of the year, I won't really be able to go outside and hit balls or even play golf at all just because of the snow and the weather. Whereas in Florida, during that time, during the winter, I can practice however long I want, 3, 4, or 5 hours a day, and just continuously see my game improve. Whereas for pros and cons, I'd say, yeah, that's definitely a big pro there. Just the environment there, just being with a lot of great athletes that are doing well in their individual sport or their team sport, like football or basketball. It's just great to see us all come together. Whereas for cons, I mean, I'm not with my family, not with my good friends, Jake and Drew. Every day, I won't see him at school, but it's definitely a sacrifice. But I think it's a sacrifice worth taking, considering what I can do with my golf game.
I mean, definitely the past week or so, winning the U.S. Junior Amateur, I think a good pro, definitely not a con of your time spent at IMG. And this past week, you've actually been even busier with golf after winning a couple days after. You recently played like kind of an all-star type tournament after winning the U.S. Junior Amateur. So can you tell us a little bit about that tournament and what it was all about?
Yeah, so it's basically it's kind of an all-star week if you think about it, whereas we have the top 10 ranked girl golfers and boy golfers from the east side of the United States versus the top 10 ranked boys and girls from the west side of the United States. And it's just a team event where we play matches together and against, and we play, I think it's a total of 4 or 5 matches, and just by the end of the week, the points rally up and we see who wins.
And who won that one?
Unfortunately, the other team beat us, I think, by 2 points. Just 2 matches somewhere in the week. If we could have won, that would have definitely have sealed the deal for us. But I personally played well there. Everybody just talks about the memories there. I had such an amazing time. It was really something else.
I hear you're the match play king. You haven't lost a lot of match plays in the past year or two. Is that something true?
Yeah, actually, for the U.S. Junior Amateur, there's 2 rounds of stroke play. Obviously, that qualifies you for the match play event, but there are 6 matches possible for that tournament, and I won all 6, therefore winning the U.S. Junior Amateur. And then this past week in that Wyndham Cup, the team event, All-Star Week, I won my singles match on the last day. And, I mean, so far I haven't won, I haven't lost a match play event or a match yet, and I'm going to try and keep it that way.
Yeah, and so far I see you're the team red over there at the Wyndham Cup, and you got a couple of nails there kind of inked up by maybe some of those friends of yours that were playing with you. So you got some red nail polish on those 2 middle fingers there, so maybe they'll come off next week, but maybe it's a new fashion statement, you never know.
Speaking
of kind of match play and playing these tournaments, I know at the U.S. Junior Amateur you had to have a caddy, and another amateur event recently you have a caddy, but most of the times you don't have a caddy. So I'm wondering if the kid next to you, and maybe we'll pass the mic to Drew, Drew, do you think you're in the running possibly to be a caddy for Michael in the future?
Not in the next 5 years, no. But hopefully, maybe if I off the course, I'm a little bit immature. But
hey, you're 16. What do you expect?
Yeah, I know. But I mean, I know this kid better than anyone, I think. And I know his mindset. I know when he misses his shot. I know what he's thinking. I think that I could definitely be his caddy, hopefully someday in the future, and hopefully we're successful.
Yeah, and how's your golf game these days, Drew? I know you don't play for Wellesley High, but you're wearing the Ping hat right now. You look like a golfer more than these two screw up next to you. Although, I'll give Jake, he's wearing the Nike Arizona Nike belt, Nike hat. He's doing pretty well. But how's your golf game?
I mean, for the local golfer, I think that I'm doing okay. But
like, I went to Wellesley Golf Course the other day. It's a public course, very easy track.
Right.
Playing the blues, I'm playing out of my mind. I shoot 76, and that's the best I'm going to do probably all year.
Mm-hmm.
Finally making some putts. You're probably going to shoot probably even par there, maybe a little under. Have you ever played that track? It's a public course. I know you're usually, probably used to playing private courses.
Yeah, I'd probably.
What are you going to play? What are you going to shoot at TPC Boston later on today?
79,
78, 77.
I mean, I just 85. I won the club championship there from the tips, and I shot 76, I think 79. But I played good golf, but it's nothing what this kid next to me, Michael's doing. And so I'm pretty good, but not to his level.
Well, let's hope that someday if Michael, you know, makes it a little further along in his golf career and is playing whatever tournament name will be at TPC Boston and Norton in the future, maybe he'll enlist you as the tournament or course caddy. You might not be his full-time one, but maybe just for that one tournament, he'll let you be the caddy because you know the course pretty well. So.
Yeah, he knows it. He knows it just as well as I have.
Oof, so you're not doing too well then.
I mean, I play with him like all the time there, so he's basically a member there. All the pros know him. They were probably supporting him too in this, and probably the TV was on Fox Sports, and I bet that they can't wait to see him and congratulate him.
Yep, well, I won't hold you too long. So let's take one more break here on Castle's Corner before getting away from golf, kind of, and then talking a little bit more sports with these two Wellesley athletes. All right, back here with Wellesley's Finest and Michael Thorbjørnsen. That was probably the worst one so far. So definitely just had to say stop saying your last name. And then Drew Cohen, as well as New Jersey native Jake Goldstein. Jake, thanks for having an easy last name and first name, who is in the background here just chilling at Castle Corner Podcast. So I met these three, and another one of their friends who, like I said earlier, had to catch an airplane. And they were in our parking lot here at the Metro West Daily News in Framingham. And Drew was showing off his Dodge Ram truck. And doing some, not really donuts, but kind of just doing some, you know, just racing around a little bit. Let's now talk a little bit about each other. So Drew talked about Michael, Michael talked about Drew. So Michael, my first impression of Drew, it was, who is this idiot in the parking lot and what is he doing here? And then I kind of, you know, obviously realize now that you're not an idiot. I mean, you're probably the brightest one in this room and next to Albert Einstein. Definitely worthy of a good caddy. But, Is that an accurate description, Einstein or idiot, of your friend here, Drew Cohen?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say you're pretty spot on. I mean, Drew can definitely be kind of wacko sometimes. He doesn't really know, he knows what's going on, but he doesn't really, he's kind of out of it. He's not really thinking when he does this, does certain things, and I'd say that yes, he doesn't really know what's going on, but when you need Drew to count on, like, he can always count on you, and I can always count on him, and he's one of my best friends, and I mean, we just always have a great time together, no matter where we are or what we're doing.
How about when Drew came to your tournament and some of your IMG friends were on the course watching? I heard they were not yelling mashed potatoes after every golf shot, but what were they saying, and maybe what were they doing?
Yeah, I mean, so obviously Drew and Jake and my other IMG friends, they're just trying to keep my spirits up, even though I wasn't playing too great. I feel, I definitely heard a couple MKs, a couple of that was nasty. But yeah, they made me smile on the course, made me realize that I'm here to have fun. I'm here trying to enjoy myself, and it was really great for them to be there.
MK is on the course can be a little distracting, but good probably help you keep you loose a little bit, just like he would probably do as a caddy. But so flipping the script here, Drew, because we talked a lot of golf here with Michael, so I need someone to tell me other than just him being a good golfer. So what's he like other than a top tier golfer?
I'll tell you, he's not a house pet. He loves going out, hanging out with his friends. He does what the normal kid does. I mean, except the practicing for like around 8 hours a day. That's not what a normal kid does. But, I mean, he's not shy. I'll tell you that. He'll dance. He'll sing. I don't know. He's just a really fun person to be around, and most people, I don't know if they think that a person is like different or something. Like everyone's human here, and he's living life to the fullest.
He sure is. Well, he's going to be traveling out to California, like I said, to go to Capella Beach pretty soon and be living the rock star lifestyle there. But enough pleasantries right now. That was very nice of Drew to say some nice things about you there, Michael. But I want to make Michael do some golf skills or something like that. So I have my 58 degree sand wedge here. Not TaylorMade, I'm sorry. I think it's Titleist. Yeah.
Okay.
Very sorry about that. Didn't know about that. And a golf ball. I got a precept. So, you know, we're not sponsored by anybody here at Castle's Corner. So I'm interested to see how many times Michael can keep the ball in the air while hitting it with the face of the sand wedge. So you guys might have seen many videos of Tiger Woods doing this growing up. All the pros do it kind of just on the driving range, get a little hand-eye coordination going. So my rule here for Michael is that the wedge needs to be near his ankle and the ball needs to bounce up off of the wedge to above his knee area or something like that. And so Michael's going to do that. And Drew and Jake, feel free to put your guesses in for how many he's going to last here. But Michael, how many times in a row do you think you can bounce a ball on my sandwich?
I could do it all day long as nobody gets in my way.
All right. So if someone gets in your way, whether it's heckling or throwing stuff at you, I'm looking at my penguin over here, lava lamp. I'm sure we can throw that typewriter over there. But if you had to guess how long you're going to last in this competition, what do you think?
Oh, I'd say about 30 or so, just considering how Drew can just find any way to distract me.
Wow, 30. Well, what I'm going to have Drew do, at least at the beginning, is Drew is going to have the mic in front of him, and he's going to count each hit of the golf club that Michael does. And no cheating, Drew. I want a fair and accurate caddy here.
At 30 hits, I'll start messing with
perfect.
Him a
little bit. Perfect. So what we're going to do is, so Michael's now standing up. I'm going to take a video of this and probably put it on this podcast episode. So Drew and Jake, feel free to heckle him after a little bit, but the number here is 30. And so, Michael, go ahead whenever you are ready, my friend.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27. We got it.
Right? He's got 30. Oh, my God. Let's see if there's anything.
Dagger.
I think that's about 50 now.
Okay.
That's about 60. And it's about, hey, there's the club grab. All right, well, why don't you two take a seat now? So I guess that you're right. You could probably go all day with that, which is pretty impressive here in the office setting. Doesn't play too great over the podcast and radio waves here, but hey, thank you for trying that. So that was fun, guys. I know you got to get over to TPC Norton. So thank you for coming to Castle Corner Podcast. And Michael, good luck in the U.S. Amateur in a few weeks. And Drew, good luck with the Wellesley hockey season in the winter. And thanks for coming to Castle Corner Podcast.
Well, thank you so much for having us. We had a great time over here.
Yeah, okay. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
I also want to thank my producer, Caitlin Kelleher, as well for all of her help behind the scenes. You can follow me on Twitter at TommyCastle44, and you can also follow Metro West Sports on Twitter and Instagram at Metro West Sports. You can subscribe to Castle Corner Podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you subscribe to podcasts, while also checking in every Wednesday for a new Castle's Corner. Thanks again for joining me here on Castle Corner Podcast. Until next time, I'm Tommy Castle, and thanks for checking in.